WNST, Towson Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We are getting ready for a trip to Dallas, Texas. We're going to Arlington on Tuesday and Wednesday. Luke and I will be there for games three and potentially four. You never know if there's going to be a five. If there's a five, we're going to have a problem with our Maryland Crab Cake tour next Friday. I had planned it for Drug City next Friday the 13th. You plan something on Friday the 13th. How do you know it's going to work or not? Game five might be working as well. It's all brought to you by the Maryland Lottery in conjunction with our friends at Window Nation. I got the shirt on. 866-90-NATION. You buy two, you get two free. Always the deal there and 0% financing. As well as our friends at Jiffy Lube MultiCare. Been talking more about Jiffy Lube. They're in on the Crab Cake Tour. We're going to get the Crab Cake Tour back out on the road. But in the meantime, we're being rudely interrupted, this Crab Cake Tour, by playoff baseball. We didn't know who we were playing. Now we're going to play the Rangers. Luke, I spent a month here saying it was going to be Toronto or Tampa, Tampa or Toronto, Toronto or Tampa. Texas wets the bed last week. Houston disappears, then comes back. Then they take a couple of days off. Now we're seeing Texas. So I don't know how this – people are like, how's the matchup? How do you feel about this? Tampa was the better team, although they were not the better team on Tuesday and Wednesday.
Yeah, and that's why we said it was so – wildly important for the Orioles to try to avoid this best of three format. I mean, Tampa Bay, and you and I poked some fun with them with some texts that we exchanged back and forth and whatnot, but they fought tooth and nail with the Orioles the entire second half of the season for the division. They won 99 games, and they had a lousy 27 hours, and boy, was it lousy. They kicked the ball around, and they couldn't hit, but what we saw was exactly why I've been saying for weeks now, and everyone's been saying for weeks now, that you want to avoid this best of three. I mean, the Tampa Bay Rays won 99 games, fought tooth and nail with the Orioles for the entire second half of the season. I mean, my goodness, we thought they were the 84 Tigers back in April and May, but they had a lousy 27 hours, and boy, it was lousy. They kicked the ball around. They couldn't hit. They did not look like the Rays that we saw for most of the season, that even when the Orioles took first place, they were right on their heels. So it's why this is such a – yeah, especially the best of three. I mean, the best of five is bad enough, but a best of three, it is such a difficult position to put yourself in if you are in a if you have the chance to avoid it. So, you know, it's a Texas Rangers team that at different points this year, I thought when they are at their best, boy, they're dangerous. I mean, they hit the baseball, they had the second best run differential in the American League. The Orioles won a series from them in early April. I mean, I don't know what you really take away from that, but the Rangers came into Camden Yards Memorial Day weekend and, you know, beat the you-know-what out of them for a couple games, if you remember. So one of the times the Orioles looked like they might be swept until they salvaged the last game. So this is definitely going to be an interesting series. And I think the big thing, the couple things that really stand out for me is, I mean, obviously Texas has had so many injuries with their rotation, including losing Gray recently. You know, obviously no Jacob deGrom. Max Scherzer just threw a bullpen. He's trying to find his way back before the postseason's over. I don't know if that will mean this series by any means, but they can hit. And while there are questions with their bullpen, they got good enough starting pitching from Montgomery and Eovaldi in this series that they didn't have to lean on their bullpen too hard. So which Rangers team is it? Bruce Bochy even said that earlier in that wild card round, that he's never seen a team that has been so good at times and then other times not so good, as we saw the final weekend of the season where they lost the NL West. So it's good. Look, all these teams are good at this point. I was telling you and telling anyone who would listen that the Minnesota Twins were better than advertised, and they kind of proved that against the Toronto Blue Jays. So there are no layups at this point in time. So we'll see how the Orioles come out this weekend after this five-day layoff, and we'll see if the Texas Rangers continue what they did down at the Trop, which was quite impressive with their two-game sweep.
Probably the most unnatural thing they're going to do. You know, the pitching was going so well last week. I mean, Means throwing deep into Bradish, throwing deep. Where they're going to be this week and how this is going to set up, and Brandon Hyde has been mainly quiet about this. I think we'd be shocked to see anybody but Bradish on Saturday. And I guess on Sunday it would be Grayson Rodriguez, although John Means has made a case in some of this. And then we could talk Gibson, Flaherty, the rest of these guys. But for Texas, the thing we wished for was Toronto. or excuse me, Tampa to win in 12 innings on a game that they play into the middle of the night. That was sort of the old thing where they don't put guys on second base and you can play 14, 15 innings in 0-0 games and try to bunt guys over and do all of that. Instead, they put the guy on second base and bunt them over for you. They walk in and steal second. So that's not going to happen. But Texas, they had a pretty easy time in Tampa, and they're going to have their pitching set up, and they played baseball day before yesterday. So, like, they're going to be a little bit more fresh. Concerns about this layoff? You were down watching BP. There were a lot of fans. That was a very unique thing, right? On an 80-degree day to watch batting practice at Camden Yards. That never happens.
Yeah, it was a fun workout day on Wednesday. I mean, a pretty nice little crowd for a weekday afternoon. A cool opportunity for those folks who, let's face it, can't afford playoffs tickets. I mean, and that would have been me growing up. I mean, certainly my dad wouldn't have been able to drop hundreds
That's
and hundreds
me right
of
now,
dollars
by
on
the
a
way.
postseason
You,
game.
you know,
So,
the thought that I'm going to – they're going to send me a strip
right,
ticket for $5,000, is just that's not happening this month. It's just not.
Sure. So that it was a cool opportunity. They played a sim game. I mean, just about everyone in the bullpen got an inning. We saw Dean Kramer. I was at the ballpark Tuesday night, which wasn't open to fans, but Grayson Rodriguez threw two innings of live BP. So I think we're – and I had a chance to talk to Kyle Gibson about this at length in the Orioles dugout on Wednesday with a couple other reporters. I mean, and I cited this, the five-day layoff. It's so unbaseball, like, right? I mean, it's longer than the All-Star break. So you're talking about a very unique territory that the Orioles find themselves in where, yeah, you love the rest, but you want to stay sharp. But Gibson really didn't have as much concern on the pitching side. Guys throw bullpens. You know, they guys have off days. Guys are skipped occasionally in the rotation where you do things where you can stay sharp. But where the real challenge, I think, is it's on the hitting side. I think, especially in today's game, with so much velocity, so many guys throwing hard, you want to make sure that your hitters are seeing as much live pitching as possible over this five-day stretch, and the Orioles have been doing their best to do that because you don't want to come out against a team like the Rangers who played really well for a couple days, and you know they'll have a couple days off now as well, but you don't want 95 miles per hour feeling like it's 105 because you haven't hit in a real game in five
when's
days.
When's the last time Grayson
– I think
not
that's
Grayson
where
Rodriguez,
the challenge here is.
Gunnar Henderson, when's the last time he didn't pick a bat up? He's had a bat in his hands facing a real pitcher 7 days a week since February. Like, literally, right? Other than a day or two at the All-Star game. Literally, right?
Right. Well, that's why. And, I mean, Kyle Gibson said – how you have to approach this. And he cited what happened to Atlanta and the Dodgers last year. I mean, the two best teams in the NL, they were bounced in the division series in four games, mind you. So, and he said, look, that doesn't mean that they necessarily did anything wrong. I mean, it's baseball. You know, it's baseball and good teams against good teams. Good teams beat great teams. You know, and we see that scenario play out quite often in October. But the key thing that he said that kind of resonated with me is, you need to treat this like it's the last 5 days of spring training, not like it's the All-Star break. And I thought that was pretty profound when you think about that. I mean, the last 5 days of spring training, you don't treat that as though, oh, well, you know, let's relax now. No, you're gearing up for the season. I mean, this is the new season starting in October. So that's why the Orioles have been working out at the ballpark every night. No, they're not. You know, Brandon Hyde isn't working them to the bone. I mean, they've gotten off their feet a little bit, and then a chance to exhale, certainly a chance to set the rotation. I mean, it's going to be Bradish in game one, even if Brandon Hyde's not going to announce it until Friday, because they're becoming more like the Ravens in that way, and teams are secretive, and they don't want to really reveal information until they have to. But I think, you know,
can you promise me the Steelers will have a quarterback on Sunday? Can you at least do that?
They will have a quarterback on, and it sounds like it could be Pickett. You know, the way it was sounding at least on Wednesday. So, but the Rangers, you know, at the very least, they're not going to be able to come right back with Montgomery and Eovaldi games one and two. You know, so will it be a Heaney? You know, someone like that. They lost John Gray to the IL. I mentioned Scherzer's still working his way back. I mean, Jacob DeGrom way back when had Tommy John surgery. So, I mean, the Rangers have been through a lot. So as much as we've kind of talked about, you know, we talked about this narrative with Tampa with all their injuries, Rangers have lost guys, especially with their starting rotation, what they envisioned it being compared to what it is. But boy, as we saw down at the Trop, they hit the baseball. So whether you're talking about Bradish, Grayson Rodriguez, John Means, or what I'm more concerned about still, which is the bullpen and your ability to miss bats in the late innings. I mean, this is a lineup that when they're swinging well, boy, they can hit, they can crush the baseball. So it's a good matchup. And believe me, the Rangers are looking at the Orioles and saying, wow, there aren't a whole lot of weaknesses there. That's why they won 101 games. But I think this is a series that is shaping up that could be really, really entertaining. And as I said, there are no layups at this point in time. I mean, the four teams left in the AL, I mean, you have the defending champions with the Astros, the Twins, who acquitted themselves quite well against the Blue Jays, and this Rangers team that, while they've been up and down, there were at least a few stretches over the course of the season that I looked at that team and thought, boy, when they're playing their best, I think they're easily the most dangerous team in the American League.
Well, a most dangerous team, maybe if they would have had Scherzer, they would have had DeGrom, sure, that sort of thing at the front, rested guys. Evaldi looked okay, I guess. You know, he would be easily to come back on Sunday, if not Tuesday, right? So the Rangers are going to get some pitching together. You know, they're going to have a chance to their one in game two, right? So there's part of that for a matchup with Rodriguez on Sunday that coming back off of Tuesday would be Sunday. Where are you with the Orioles starters? Are you pleased? Because we talked all year when it looked like they were going to make the playoffs. We're like, all right, where's Rodriguez? He's in Norfolk. Where's D.O. Hall? He's not here yet. Where, you know, all of these guys that were coming down the line. And Means was something we were talking about August 1st as, well, maybe he'll get a couple of innings in. And I think we may have thought about him more in a relief role or something like that, that he was working his pitch count up to 50 and 60 and 70 and then started and then started and looked good. He's only made less than a handful. Where are you for what they're prepared for on Saturday and Sunday? Then again, on Tuesday, just want to make sure you don't get bounced. You want to make sure you get one of these games over the weekend to give yourself a chance to get back home. You get two this weekend, that's unbelievable, but you got to get one of two, and you better get game one as all four of the teams found out in the wild card round. They all lost the first game. They all lost the second game.
Yeah, I mean, you want to get off to a good start in a best of five. I mean, a best of five, you have a little more of a leash than a best of three, but it's still not much, right? I mean, it's still a case where you have a bad, 72 hours, and it can be over even after a 101 loss season. So, or a 101 win season. Yeah, had a tough time getting that out. But, you know, you look at the rotation. Kyle Bradish has been fantastic. I mean, this is a guy who's going to have Cy Young votes. I mean, he's not going to win. He's not going to be top two, or I don't think he's going to be top three, but you're going to find him in that list. I mean, that's how impressive he was this year. And, you know, it's ironic that he started off his season against the Texas Rangers with Jonah Heim hitting a line drive off his foot and sending him to the IL. Two innings into his 2023 campaign.
He knows what the training room looks like at Globe Life Park. Right?
He does. Literally. He does. And the X-ray machine and all that. So, but, you know, Bradish, I'll take Bradish up against just about anyone right now that's left in this postseason. I mean, there are other great pitchers. I mean, don't get me wrong. And I understand he's never been there before, but as far as how he pitched over the second half of the season, I like my chances. And that's not to say that the Orioles are a lock to win. I mean, it's postseason baseball, but I feel confident in him. I feel confident in Grayson Rodriguez. I feel as confident as I can feel in John Means, acknowledging what you just said. It's only been a handful of starts, but he's looked to me a little bit better, you know, at least the same or a little bit better in each of those starts, which is what you want to see from someone coming back from Tommy John. I mean, I'll say this much. From an arm standpoint, from a fatigue standpoint, he should be fresh, right? That doesn't mean that he's peak John Means that threw a no-hitter 2 years ago, but he hasn't thrown a ton of innings. And you're talking about someone who had a chance to gradually build his arm up with a 17-month recovery from Tommy John surgery. So, you know, I feel really good about Bradish and Grayson Rodriguez going up against just about anyone. And that includes the Astros, by the way, who – name recognition wise, yeah, of course. I mean, my goodness, you look at who they have in their rotation, but none of those guys have been as good as they were in the past. So, you know, I feel good about the rotation 1 through 3. You know, if we're going to put Means in that third spot, and let's be clear, I don't know for sure. There could be an argument to be made to throw Means out there for game two to take advantage of the big left field at Camden Yards, which we've never talked about in a postseason sense, but of course we've talked about it the last 2 years with that spacious left field. So maybe you put Means out there for game two. I don't know, but those three are going to be in my rotation. And then I think
let Rodriguez pitch in Texas.
Maybe. I mean, that's his home state, right? I mean, that'd be a heck of a story.
The weird thing for me is that if you and I do this 4 days a week, right? Like literally at the All-Star break, we're like, well, they can make the playoffs. And if they do, pitching's trouble. Maybe Gibson would be their number, the game one starter, because he's the experienced guy. You'd want the experienced guy out there. Rodriguez was nothing to think about then. Means was a pipe dream then, right? Tyler Wells was, we'll send him. He'll be back in the rotation by August 15th. And you're like, whoa, 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 pitch count, innings, going to hit his head. You were giving me the innings going to hit their head back in June and July on a lot of the young players, right?
Yeah.
They did all sorts of things into this, and I'm not going to sit here today or Monday or on the plane back from Arlington if they get their ass kicked and say, well, they didn't set it up right. They didn't have enough. These guys didn't look good enough. These three pitchers that they're going to pitch in a five-game series that we believe they're going to pitch, whether it's Gibson on the, you know, on the bench, Flaherty, any of the starters that won't make the cut, I have to look at this and say we never could have predicted this August 1st, right, for any of this, or even July 30th without Flaherty, thinking he was – when they dealt for him, they're like, oh, we got our game three starter now. At least we have that. We have that organized. It never goes to script. And this weekend will not go to script either. It'll always be some Delman Young or some Tito Landrum, or, you know, it'll be somebody like that wins it either for us or for Texas. But all the pitching and all the crying we've done about pitching, and we're not good enough and we have to deal for pitching, and what about our bullpen? As I look at this, I'm like, what would you want other than a Cy Young candidate, game one, Rodriguez, who is going to be your ace the next 5 years if his arm doesn't fall off? He's their best pitcher. He's their best bloodline pitcher right now. And Means, who's as good a story as there's been, and the way he threw the ball in September, specifically late September, leads you to think like he thinks it's May 10th right now. He's ready to go. He's ready to, he's got a month in him. He's got five starts in him this month and he can look like John Means. So there's a feeling going into this. And dude, I'd have to get the tape out from 14, what you and I were saying before we got on the plane and went out to Kansas City, and thinking, oh, yeah, we got to hit the bats and Machado. And then they couldn't score. And they got their ass kicked, literally. We don't even talk about 14 because it was a bloodletting. It was a sweep. It wasn't good. It was bad. This weekend for the pitching, if they were to get swept by Texas, I'm not going to go back and say, well, it was John Angelos' fault. It was Mike Elias' fault at the deadline. They should have dealt for Scherzer. They should have dealt for Verlin. I'm not going to do that. I think they are positioned better than we could have thought they could have been positioned August 1st for pitching this week. Pitching, worried about it, always worried about it. I'm always worried about when they go to the bullpen, guys throwing strikes. But as far as the starting pitching goes, I don't know, dude. This is a little dreamy to be the one seed. If we would go back to the All-Star break or even August 1st when they dealt for Flaherty and we felt like we're in this mix, they're sitting at the top with rested pitching. To your point, Texas is decimated to some degree from where they were in spring training as far as how they're setting up to play baseball this week. And all of a sudden, Means is available, Rodriguez is available. All of our nightmares from June and July are at least solved for now. They got to go out and pitch 6-7 innings, but they're not in bad shape. The Orioles are well positioned to win a World Series right here. They really are. They're healthy.
I think you look at the state of their starting rotation. Now, we'll get to the bullpen in a moment because I do have thoughts about that. But you look at their starting rotation. You look at the pitchers that were out there. And you could say, okay, could the Orioles have gone out and gotten Jordan Montgomery? Sure. I'll hear that. But there were a ton of guys. Savali. Lorenzen, who threw the no-hitter for the Yankees, go look at what his numbers have been since then. I mean, there have been so, you know, Scherzer got hurt. I mean, you go through the list of guys that were available at the
trade
deadline.
And I don't want to hear Cease, by the way, because that would have been like a Holiday, Kowser. Like, they weren't going to do that. So, I mean, things that were logical for Mike Elias to do. Not John Angelos, not money, just a baseball decision on this for that on July 31st. They got a pitcher, and if Flaherty may make the roster and he may pitch and he may be a guy that they would go to because he's a veteran guy in a situation, but at least in this point, and we can lament that, but this is as good as it gets for them. They have three really good pitchers for this series. They're ready to play ball, I think.
Yeah, and I mean, they're going to need – they're going to need four. So is it going to be Gibson or is it Dean Kramer? And I think for me, I've kind of thought of Dean Kramer. Maybe he becomes a swing guy in the bullpen for you. Comes in the fourth inning because that's how starting pitching works in the postseason. Guys, unless they're really, really good on a given day, and I mean, Texas was an example of this, you're oftentimes going to your bullpen in the fifth inning. So, you know, it could be a little earlier than that. So could Dean Kramer be that guy who comes in, throws two and a third, strikes out four guys for you? And, you know, Kevin Gausman did that in 2014 for them. So there are options. But, yeah, I think your general point, look, Grayson Rodriguez, long term, I agree with you. He's their ace. Right now, Kyle Bradish is their ace, and he's been that darn good this year. And I don't think it's a fluke. I think he's really good too. I think you look at where the Orioles were when they acquired him, and he was the centerpiece in that Dylan Bundy trade. I think all along they were higher on him than the outside Baseball America, Baseball Prospectus, Fangraphs community was on what kind of pitcher Bradish could be. And he's all he's done is proven that since the All-Star break last year. You know, he's been a bona fide, very legit, even if you don't want to say an ace around baseball, he's been a very legitimate top two kind of pitcher in a rotation. And I think he's going to continue to be that. So, yeah, you feel great about their upside. You feel really good about where John Means is right now. And even talking about a fourth guy, you know, whether it is Gibson or Kramer, it's not going to be Flaherty. I mean, he's barely pitched. I'm not so sure Flaherty's even going to be on the postseason roster, quite frankly, because even pitching out of the bullpen, they barely threw him the last 10 days of the season.
As long as he's there to dump beer over Kevin Brown's head, I'll be good with that, you know, so.
Yeah, right. Sure. So, and this was funny, Nestor. I almost had to pull over when I heard this. I was listening to MLB Network Radio on Sirius just a few days ago because, you know, it's good to get intel on some of these other playoff teams and, you know, they have good people on there. There was someone who made a comment that the Orioles rotation, if you really look at the numbers, not name recognition, because Houston has that right now, right? But you look at the numbers, the Orioles top two or three stacks up quite favorably with just about anyone in that American League field. And then you look at it and you say, you know what? He's not wrong. And I can't recall who it was who said it. So my apologies.
You don't win 100 games with lousy starting pitching. Let's be honest, right? You just don't.
It's tough to. I mean, even in 14, I mean, they won 96 games that year. They didn't have this amazing starting rotation, but the second half of the season, that rotation had given them a really high floor, and then it went with a dominant bullpen. Now, the Orioles do not have a dominant bullpen right now. Their dominance in the bullpen is about to get Tommy John surgery. So that's where you do look at this thing, and I will continue to say Mike Elias should have acquired another bullpen arm. That said, you still look at where they are. You look at their bullpen compared to the Rangers. I think you still feel better about it, but I do have the question, who's going to miss bats for you in the late innings when you need strikeouts? When it's a one-run game and there are two guys on base and there's one out and you say, I need a punch out right now. Who's going to get that for them? I'm not sure. You know, I think you have some guys in the bullpen who can strike people out, but do you have anyone in the bullpen right now that will strike people out? Felix Bautista was overwhelmingly that guy for them until late August. I mean, he was the best in baseball at doing that. Goodness, he had struck out almost two per inning for a large portion of the season. So you really, really miss that. You really miss that in October now, at least, you know, understanding he had never done it before, just like any other young player doing this thing for the first time. So,
well, thinking you're going to be in a 4-3 game in the eighth inning, right? I mean, that's the way you're thinking every night, right?
I mean, I mean, that's the postseason. You know, and you mentioned Kansas City. Yes, Kansas City swept the Orioles in 14, but they were still close games. I mean, they didn't beat them 10-1. It's not as though they were laughers. It was just this agonizing Kansas City putting the ball in play and finding grass in the outfield, and the Orioles didn't hit. I mean, it was that simple. So it was a four-game sweep, so it was a blowout in that regard. But they were still close games. You know, they were still one-run games, two-run games. So I think that's where I look at this team right now. Beyond just, okay, you know, the offense was hot and cold down the stretch and you know, the ebbs and flows of a baseball season, just the general lack of experience on this team, which could be a great thing. You know, talking to Gunnar Henderson on Wednesday, you know, he's very matter of fact about this is just like any other game. And it's not, of course it's not. This isn't like any other game, but you have young guys that might just be in the right mindset to say, it is just like every other game. And Adley Rutschman might say, all right, I've never been in the postseason, but you know what? I won a College World Series. And that's still a pretty big stage if you've ever been to Omaha and you see what that environment is like. It's not the World Series, but it's still a pretty big deal. So you have these young guys, they won throughout the minor leagues, they played in the postseason in the minors. And no, none of that is the MLB postseason. I understand that, but you know, this was something that talking to Gibson, who's, you know, the elder statesman in that clubhouse, a guy in his mid-30s, you know, he might as well be in his 50s compared to these guys in their early to mid-20s. But he just said, like, he thinks that these guys are ready. And he said, you never know. I mean, all these teams are good. You know, there's one team that's going to be happy in early November, and everyone else is going to be disappointed. So there's no way of knowing if we're going to be that team. But he said, these young guys, I really do think they're ready. And, you know, of course he's going to say that. He's not going to say, oh, I don't think they're ready. But I think it, you know, we've talked about it all year. This team's ability to bounce back from losses, this team's ability to having not been swept the entire season. There's something to be said about that. And it's not just a cute historical factoid. It's they really have shown a lot of resiliency, and they've shown a lot, an uncanny ability to bounce back. So going back to that 2014 scenario, heaven forbid if the Orioles drop game one or even game two, you know, where you're saying, oh my gosh, they're really behind the eight ball now. They've shown an ability to come back. I mean, the four-game losing streak they had in mid-September, where suddenly the Rays move into a tie for first place. There are a lot of people who thought they were in big trouble at that point. What did they do? They started a winning streak immediately after that. I mean, they've done that all year. They did that back in early July. Had their longest winning streak of the season after they lost 6-7, and they're losing games to the Yankees and the Bronx on the 4th of July. So, you know, we'll see if that all carries over. You know, they are inexperienced. I think you do look at the reality of where Atlanta was a couple years ago, where the Astros were back in 2015. I've talked about the Dodgers so many times, all the failures they've had after so much regular season success. It's difficult. And for the most part, these teams generally don't do it the first time that they try. And that's one thing that you have to at least acknowledge with the Orioles. But that said, that doesn't mean the Orioles are exactly like those other teams. So, you know, you get to this point, Buck Showalter used to love to say, you get to October, you play well enough for 6 months, you get a chance to roll the dice. And I think the Orioles, they have a good pair of dice they can roll as far as what this club is right now. And we'll see how it's going to play out. But, you know, all these teams at this point in time, there's something you can point to. One question, even for the Braves, who, you know, were choppy down the stretch, that just had such a big lead in the East. So everyone has their imperfections, but I think this Orioles team, they've been loose, you know, being around them the last couple of days at these workouts, they're definitely loose. You don't get the sense that these guys are overly nervous, which I think is a good thing. We'll find out starting Saturday afternoon.
Dude, you forced me to get the 2014 Royals series out. 8-6, 6-4, 2-1, 2-1.
Yeah.
Holland, the save in all four games. Wade Davis, the winner in game one and two. Darren O'Day, the loser in game one and two. So they were bullpens deciding things for sure. Bullpens will decide things here this weekend. Luke will be there deciding things. We will both be in Arlington on Tuesday, Wednesday of next week for games three and potentially four. You always think there's going to be a four. Don't know if there's going to be a five. Next Friday, I am slated to be down at Drug City at the Fountain celebrating 55 years on the planet, celebrating the Maryland Crab Cake Tour. It is Friday the 13th. I'm hoping it's lucky. It's all brought to you by our friends at the Maryland Lottery. We have Raven Scratch also be giving away. We had some lucky ones at Coco's 2 weeks ago as well. Had a $20 winner, so that felt kind of nice. We're going to be there from 2 until 5 on Friday, unless things get weird and there's a game 5, and I don't know. I mean, I knew I shouldn't have been planning crab cake tours this month. I can't plan anything. It's October around here, and the Orioles are in the playoffs, and the Ravens are – anything you want to say about the Ravens on Sunday, last minute, any of this? Just getting a few players back on the field this week, probably good, right?
Yeah, I mean, great. Whether Marlon Humphrey plays or not, great to see him back on the practice field. You got Bateman back. You have Beckham back. Ronnie Stanley, I think, will play this week, better play this week. So go take care of business. I mean, the Steelers, really messy. A mess. Pickett's been bad. Matt Canada's offense is a disaster. That defense has not been as good as I think most people expected it to be. But It's still Ravens Steelers. I'm not expecting them to go there and win by four touchdowns because it just never happens that way. But go take care of business, improve to 4-1, 3-0 on the road in the division. I mean, you beat the Steelers on Sunday. At that point, the division, I mean, you're in the driver's seat. Not that it's over because it's still October and there's a long way to go, but you're in the driver's seat. You're controlling things in the division while everyone else is scrambling, trying to figure out quarterback injuries and things of that nature.
Dude,
so
all three of those teams are going to have trouble getting to 8 or 9 wins. I mean, that's going to be a scuffle every week. And yeah. I'm not saying it's going to be easy for the Ravens to get to 11 or 12 because they're going to hit their head. They have to go to London next week. They have to go to Pittsburgh this week. At some point, this starts to add up. They may come home to an empty city, or they may come home to a city that's on fire for the ALCS 2 weeks from now, and we got to figure out what to do with that Lions game. So this is as interesting a month. I've known you as coworkers for 15 years. You've been listening longer than that. I've had the station 25 years. I don't remember. I mean, Super Bowl weeks are one thing, and, you know, various, we're going to New England to play the Patriots in the championship game or Pittsburgh and doing bus trips and all of that. This is as crazy a couple of weeks from a scheduling standpoint in regard to whether I'm seeing John Mayer on the 23rd, or whether the Ravens are going to be able to play the Lions and how they're going to move games around and do all of that. But the Orioles, we expect them to handle business. I mean, I don't think you and I expect to get on a plane next Thursday back from Dallas at 6 a.m. thinking the season's going to be over. I would be shocked by that. And the Orioles are a slight favorite from a betting standpoint in this. But, man, if they lose to the Rangers in the first round after winning 101 games, when they got their pitching set up and they're healthy, there's no Markakis, there's no – well, we got to throw Wei and Chen, and Gonzalez has been our best guy. We know we're not really as good as them. There's nothing about this where I look and say, other than Batista, I'll hear that. You know, I say they're healthy.
Yeah.
They feel healthy to me because it was 6-7 weeks ago when it happened. But this is as good as you can hope for, that if the Ravens get into a playoff scenario and they're in this kind of position, the number one seed with the bye, with health, I don't think there's any reason to sit here not like the Orioles right now against the Astros, the Twins, whoever comes out of the other side either.
Yeah, like, and look, again, let's be clear, and I'm going to say I'm a broken record about this. It's October baseball. You don't know what's going to happen. I disagree that I'd be shocked if they lose to the Rangers. Now, that said, I am picking the Orioles to win this series. And they were the better team over the course of the season. But like I said, this Rangers team at times look like they could be the best team in the AL. And of the teams left in the AL, they had the best run differential. That they scored the most runs. You know, it's an offense that when it gets going, as the Rays found out, it's dangerous. So I'm not going to be shocked by anything because these games at this point in time, you're talking about little more than coin flips. You know, one team has the edge, but it's, you know, it's 55-45. It's 60-40. It's not 80-20. But because you're talking about a best of five. So
gotta win game one. Gotta win game one.
I love their chances. And you know, you don't want to squander this because as much as these next 5-6 years look like they set up so well because, you know, Jackson Holliday's on the way and other guys are on the way and Gunnar Henderson's only going to get better. Grayson Rodriguez is only going to get better. I will channel the 2019 Ravens for a moment and say, wow, they were 14-2. They look like, you know, they were absolutely the best team in the regular season that year by a wide margin. And guess what? They lost. And they haven't been back. They haven't gotten back to that point in the 4 years that have followed. And a lot has happened. A lot of it going against them. Bad luck and COVID and injuries and all kinds of things. So the lesson there for the Orioles to take away from that is seize this opportunity because you don't know if you're going to be a 101 win team next year or the year after that. You can get in. You can be really good. You can be back playing October baseball again, but it sets up, got home field until the World Series. And even then, it's only the Braves that you wouldn't have home field against. So, you know, they have such a great opportunity here that, boy, you want to see them take advantage, but you never know what's going to happen. That's why they play the games, or so I've heard.
He is Luke Jones. He is Baltimore Luke out on the interwebs. He's going to be quite busy this weekend, as we all will be on Saturday and Sunday with Oriole baseball both days. Billy Joel, Stevie Nicks, stand back, Hopefully we get decent weather and the weather gods play along. And then, of course, the Steelers on Sunday. Luke and I will have full coverage at WNST and at BaltimorePositive.com. Hold on to your hats. It's October. We're having fun around here. I'm Nestor. He's Luke. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. And we never stop talking Baltimore Positive.